Welcome to the Edu All-Stars Podcast.
Hey guys, and welcome to the 92nd episode of Edu All-Stars. My name is Todd Nesloni, and you can find me on Twitter at TechNinjaTodd.
My name is Chris Kessler. You can find me on Twitter at IamKessler. Just want to welcome everyone back to the podcast. You can see that I'm without my microphone tonight. I'm still just got a new computer, and I'm learning how to do everything, so hopefully everything sounds okay on my end.
Well, we are super pumped about our guests tonight, and we want to encourage you that as you listen to our interview, if you'll tweet out encouraging things and great things that you hear using the EduAllStars hashtag, we love seeing the conversation and hearing about things that stick out to you. Our guest this week is Carrie Jackson. She's a principal at Timberview Middle School. She is an award-winning administrator being recognized by the National Association of Secondary School Principals as a digital principal. And she is also the TMS HawkChat founder and a TASSP officer. So thanks, Carrie, for coming on with us tonight.
Oh, happy to be here. Thank you, guys.
Well, Carrie, where we always like to start with our guests is just learning a little bit about you and how you ended up in education. So what's your journey?
Very good. Wow, that goes way back now. I was just thinking the other day, and this is going to age me a little bit, 25 years since I graduated high school this year. Whoa. It goes by fast. But I've been in education now. This is my 20th year, my 9th year as a principal. And I got into it really and truly when I was a high school senior. I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to go into education. My parents were both educators. I thought I was going to be this all-star basketball coach. That's what I was going to do for the rest of my life, and did that for about a year and a half, and then parted ways with that, but taught for 6 years, and then I was an assistant principal in Irving ISD for 5 years, and then just out of a desire to get closer to home, I decided it was time to start looking for that principalship, and that actually coincided with the time when my baby girl was born, who is no longer a baby. She's now 9, but it's been a journey of just wanting to be able to make a difference in kids' lives. Ultimately, what made me want to go into education was this desire to be that teacher that really wanted to encourage kids and be fun for kids and make education fun. You know, so many years of my life, education was a bit of a drudgery, and it's not that I had bad teachers. They were good teachers and did what they were supposed to do at the time, but what we did at the time was a lot of worksheets and reading out of the book and answering the questions at the end and those kinds of things. And no matter how good a teacher you are when you're doing that, well, there's not a whole lot going on with the kids. So I really got into education out of a desire to try to make education a little something different for kids and something that's exciting and fun and enjoyable and that would be a good memory for them when they become adults.
So talk a little bit about the pros and the cons of kind of stepping out of the classroom and kind of moving into that administration role.
It was interesting because I actually moved from the teaching position into an administrative position in the very same school. I was at Crockett Middle School in Irving. Yeah, right. Todd's making a face. It worked out well for me though, because the collegial relationships I had in that particular building were just that. We didn't go hang out after school or things like that. I was a commuter, and so I did my stuff, and it was all professional, and there wasn't a whole lot of time for hanging out and socializing and that kind of thing. So it actually worked out okay, the dynamic fit for me. And it just so happened that I was taking some administrative courses there in my 3rd year at Crockett, and the principal mentioned to me, said, "Hey, Carrie, just so you know, we've got an assistant principalship opening. I'd like you to interview for it." And I'm like, oh, I'm only like 15 hours into my program, surely not. He said, "No, you really should. It'll be a good learning experience." And so I did. And one thing led to another. I happened to be the one selected. And it was an interesting change, though. And my principal at the time, his name was John Rose, he walked me through it. He was a really good mentor in that process, just saying, "You know what, guys? Yeah, I'm still here for you. I'm still a part of this family. however my role has changed, and just delineating the ways that the roles would change. And people were really respectful of that. I even had one of my team members come up to me after the faculty meeting where we announced the change, and he said to me, "Carrie, I just want you to know that I'm going to be on better behavior now because you're an assistant principal. I don't want you to have to get on to me." So it was a good transition. It was smooth. I mean, there are always challenges moving from a teaching role to an administrative role, things that you don't know. I remember the big revelation for me was I always thought that, you know, when a student did a thing that was naughty, there was a specific consequence, and you always give them that consequence. And it was a revelation to me to learn, well, no, you follow the student code of conduct, and you look at that, and you make a determination based on the circumstances. So just so many things to learn as a very green new administrator fresh out of the classroom, but it was a really good transition.
So when did you begin to get connected using social media?
Oh, that would be, really and truly, it happened when I opened Timberview Middle School. So I had been a principal for about 4 years, and this opportunity came to open Timberview Middle School. And this was this new dynamic, new grade span to our district, and then a new design to the building. And so our superintendent at the time had this charge for our building, and that was to be more innovative and more creative in our approach. So we have a building that is designed for collaboration, and we came in with this attitude of we're going to hire teachers and staff who want to be collaborative and want to teach kids how to think differently, teach kids how to think, how to integrate technology with learning and do so in a way that's meaningful, not just technology just for the sake of saying, hey, everybody's got a laptop. So it was a neat new challenge. And with that came the opportunity to recognize what in the world social media was. Fortunately for me, I hired two fabulous assistant principals who were brand new. Well, I say brand new. They were young, and they knew what was going on. They put me on Twitter. They put me on Facebook. I wasn't using any of it at the time. They said, yeah, you probably need to figure this out. And we were sitting in a session with Alan November at ASCD in Dallas, and they put me on Twitter for the first time, helped me set up an account. And it just all kind of went from there. We started out that very first year when Timberview was open. We had the old closed Facebook group. Some of y'all may remember some of those. So we had that, and there wasn't a whole lot of interaction going on. But we would post, and we would post to our Twitter, but it was just the old standard, hey, don't forget there's a game tomorrow night, or hey, remember tomorrow's early dismissal, just things like that. We had a presence, and that was about it. But then there was this dad, his name is Donnie Vaughn, who is a social media expert, interestingly. He leverages social media for PR. That's his job. And he said to me, you know, Carrie, you ought to think about just doing an open Facebook page. Just do one. And I think those were relatively new at the time. And so he says, if you open up a page, I think you'll get more interaction and you'll find it, you know, a lot more beneficial. So I did. And it was pretty interesting the way that changed the dynamic of our interactions. It started to be two-way communication, and people were talking to us through social media. And then I got a little more familiar with Twitter and started seeing what was going on with some of the hashtag chats and just a horde of things that happened through Twitter, sharing out of things and getting to know people and tweeting with people. And finally, I learned how to interact on Twitter. It was very much a learn as you go, but we gradually pulled those tools in and developed a fan base, if you will, and started really interacting with our families through Twitter. So a really cool process, and it was really very, let's see, what's the word I want to use there? Grassroots, I guess, just getting that start.
So what did, like, when you did the Twitter chat, what difference did that make within the school and the community? I mean, did you see, like, parents, are you still at that school now?
Yes.
Okay, so do you see parents interacting, like, weekly on that kind of chat, or, you know, they get on once a month, and oh, cool.
Yeah, so the way that came about, too, was just this idea. I'd seen Louisville ISD post their district account. They posted that they were going to have a town hall meeting and saw that idea. And I'd also seen Patrick Larkin, who was at Burlington High School in Massachusetts, was one of our NASSP digital principals, noticed that he had a hashtag BHSChat, which was a hashtag that he used just for kids, families, whoever, to jump in and ask questions and talk about the school and things like that. So combining those two ideas together, I thought, you know what, we can have a conversation at Timberview. Let's try this. And so I believe it was a Tuesday right before spring break, the week before spring break, decided we tried this TMS Hawk Chat. And we did, and it took off, and people were just all on it and raving about it and having fun with it, and it was just the coolest thing. So we did weekly chat for a while, and it had its ebbs and flows. You'd have nights when people really weren't on and nights when people were really on. You'd have nights when people were joining from all over the world and nights when you couldn't even get the Timberview people on. So up and down like that. We gradually got to where we grew out of the weekly chat, and I say grew out of, you get to a point where, I mean, you can go ahead and have a weekly chat for the sake of having a weekly chat. For us, it was a little more beneficial to scale that back a little bit, so now what we've done is we've pulled that back to a monthly chat, and we have very targeted and specific topics. For example, this coming Tuesday, we'll do one on we're doing a book study, a community book study. It's Ron Clark's The End of Molasses Classes. It's a,
love that book.
Oh, great, man. Book. Yeah. And so we're doing some questions that are oriented to some of the chapters on that book. And so we've kind of become more purposeful in our approach as we've grown in our social media presence. But to answer your original question, the relationships that we were able to develop through a purposeful online chat situation were phenomenal. I started to get to know personally some families that I probably wouldn't have had a relationship with otherwise, because they're not ones who are going to come up and talk to me on the front porch. They're dropping their kids and going. They're not ones that maybe are going to join PTA or are going to come up and say, hey, I want to get involved in this. But they got involved through the social media interaction and just getting to know us as a staff. And that's been huge. So it's funny, you know, how you have the relationships on Twitter where you know the person and you feel like you've known them all your life, and then you meet them in person and it's all hugs and stuff. Well, that's how it was with some of our families, ones that maybe had been too busy to come up and engage with us otherwise, engage with us through chat.
Do the chats run where it's kind of like the admin talking to the parents, or are the teachers involved too, or is it like admin talking to teachers as well? Or
it's all of us, and really
it's everyone. Okay.
Really what we did is we designed it so that it was all of us learning together. We called it community learning. We even had it in our campus plan. We wanted to learn and grow together and learn things about education. So really it wasn't really geared toward anybody talking to anybody. It was us all talking together about a topic of interest. We would do things like transition between the grade levels and talk about, you know, what our perspectives were from each of those things. Looks a lot like PT chat. Joe Mazza, that was another inspiration for us, was you know, chatting with the parents through PT chat, very much like that. So we bring a topic that's interesting to everybody and make it generic enough that anybody can have a say in it. We had students involved as well, and so it's just a conversation together.
So I know you were also recognized by NASSP as a digital principal. What does that exactly entail, and how did that come about?
That was a lot of good fortune, and it was something that, let's see, and I believe I got named the second year in, I think. It was a relatively new award with NASSP. Having been an officer with TASSP, I had the opportunity to attend some NASSP conferences that were not local, so didn't have to wait for the San Antonio or the Dallas one. I could actually go to these conferences as a delegate. And so went to the one The first one I got to attend was the one where Eric Schenninger and Patrick Larkin and Mike King were selected as our very first digital principals. And just, I was just so inspired listening to them tell their stories about how they used digital media to share the stories of their schools and to connect with people. And just taking those ideas and then employing them at our school, where we already had some things going a little bit anyway, it was very easy to take those ideas and then really translate those into what it was going on at Timberview. So the next year, one of our Timberview teachers nominated me, and I'm like, well, if you're going to nominate me, I got to apply. So I did, and put together my portfolio, and the rest is history. I was very fortunate to get to do that. So what it entails is really you're an ambassador for digital leadership across the country, and that's what I got to do. I got to participate in some webinars. I got to go and deliver a couple of keynotes. I got to go speak in some sessions. NASSP had me speak in some of their sessions. Got to write some publications, things like that. So it's just really and truly the Digital Principal Award is an opportunity to advocate for digital leadership, to advocate for employing tools in our schools that better engage kids and families, and it's an opportunity to really get your story out there and share and possibly inspire another principal to become an even better leader, and not just a digital leader anymore. I've said before, the term digital leader is kind of funny now because really and truly, you can drop the digital off of it. It's just leadership is what it is. It's good leadership.
Yep, right. So how do you challenge your staff to continue with their professional development on campus?
It's pretty easy with our crew. We've got a good bunch of teachers. We're so fortunate. It's a wonderful thing. I think you have to model that. As a leader, you have to model that you want to continuously learn. You have to model excitement for learning and purpose for learning. It's not just participating in PD to collect your hours or whatever. You do it because you want to get better, you want to grow, you want to better serve your kids. And so modeling from administration is a big deal. Having teachers who are willing to step up and lead and model is also just crucial. So having those really great teacher leaders in place and growing those folks and supporting them and, allowing them to spread their wings. I can't speak enough to how important it is for us as leaders, principals, to support our teachers being creative and getting out there and trying things and taking risks and just trusting our teachers to do things that are different and innovative and exciting with the kids and stepping back and letting them do it. It's great. So
exactly right. So, Carrie, who inspired you the most when you were growing up?
Oh, wow. I'm going to go with my dad. My dad's a pretty cool dude. He was, by chance, he happened to be my band director in high school. Uh-huh. And so what was really inspiring about him as a person who just, and he stepped out of, he was a farmer and an auto mechanic when I was little, and then he decided that he was going to go back and finish up his degree and work hard, and then this band director position opened up at Leonard High School, of all places. But he came in, and he was just really cool and laid back with the kids. His relationship with the kids was always really, really positive, and he was always considered the cool teacher. But at the same time, he had it all in check. He engaged them in what was going on. He grew the program, and he just had all of his stuff together, even though he was the cool teacher. The other one I got to put out there is Marianne Marshall. She's no longer with us, but she was my English teacher in high school, 11th and 12th grade. And again, just one of those teachers who you want your kids to have because they really do care, they know you, they encourage you, they inspire, and they're just a lot of fun. And so those are my two biggest inspirations.
I guess that's me, huh? So what's something you're reading right now or read maybe over the past year that you would maybe recommend to other leaders or even people in school, teachers in school?
Well, of course, the one that's sitting right on the front of my mind is The End of Molasses Classes by Ron Clark. That's a fun one. But just really practical strategies. And our big push this year at Timberview, and it's going to continue. It's not going to be just a this year thing, but what we're really trying to do, and these are Ron Clark's words, is we want to be that school that kids are faking well to come to school instead of faking sick to stay home. And that's actually written in our campus plan. We're the weird ones, so we can do that. But we've spent a lot of time, and a teacher leader has really led the charge in this. Allison Esparza, who is one of our sixth grade teachers, she has taken this and run with it, gotten grants, and really moved it forward. But definitely Ron Clark's work. Another one that I've been reading that has been more of a Keller ISD, we want our principals to engage with this one, is Crucial Conversations. That's not a new book by any stretch of the imagination, but it's one that encourages us to have conversations with people when we need to address things. Maybe it's not a positive thing, or maybe it is. It encourages us to have those conversations with people and develop those relationships.
Awesome. Carrie, what's one of the things that you, or what's something that you do when you're having a really rough day to kind of recenter yourself?
Well, my secretary has this doll that we slam on the desk. She actually does. Sometimes it takes just time out in the classes with the kids. That's the best therapy in the world, and Sherry, my secretary, will tell you that right off the top of her head. If she ever sees that I'm getting a little too much stress, or there's just maybe people have just loaded a lot of stuff on me, and I'm not talking about assignments, I'm talking about personal burdens, because when you're in a principalship, that's something that you do. You minister to people, and people will come in and they'll lay their burdens in front of you. And so you pray over them, and then you try to continue to have your day, and it's hard sometimes. And so Sherry she'll pick up on that really quickly, and she'll say, "All right, Jackson, get out in the classrooms," and she sends me out. She'll move my calendar around, and she makes sure that I get out there and just connecting with the kids. That's the best thing in the world. My very favorite times of day are 1 in the morning when I get to stand out on the porch and greet the kids, and then 2 in the afternoon when I get to tell them have a good afternoon or have a good weekend. Those are my favorite, morning and afternoon duty, my favorite times of day. Lunch duty is pretty cool too.
What about something, what maybe the biggest thing you've learned over the last year, just whether it be in the professional life or personal life or either one?
Oh, that one's easy. Balance, 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 balance. That's been my theme this year. If you follow me on Facebook, you'll see a lot, Todd, you know this, a lot of pictures of my kiddo. And my daughter Riley plays 3 sports, and she's a beast. And I love every split second of it. It is my favorite thing in the world. And so what I really try to do is balance the work life, the home life, the spiritual life, and the involvement on social media. You may see a reduction in the number of things that I've posted on Twitter. I'm a little lower key on that lately. And that's not because I don't love it. It's just because, wow, I'm busy. And so trying to balance all of those different things together. I have a unique situation. I'm very fortunate. I live in the neighborhood where I work and where my daughter goes to school. It's all right here in the same neighborhood. And so that's really cool because I get to interact with our families from Timber. When I'm at the grocery store, it's crazy, or at the ball field. But just finding that balance, that way that everything kind of, I'll use my hands, fits together. Finding a way that social media involvement fits into the picture. Finding a way that my work as a mom or my work with the church integrates with what it is that I'm doing at school. It makes it all fit, and it just, when it's synchronous like that, it's a really cool thing.
What do you find is the biggest challenge right now in your job?
I think it's all of the things that are coming down from the state level. And I'm not one to vilify our legislators. I know they're trying to do things that are right for us. But there are lots of mandates that are coming toward us that are not funded. And with that, what we're running into at Timberview in particular, being a unique campus with a unique grade span, is we're trying to get our master schedule adjusted so that we are able to offer the same offerings at our school that are offered at two-year campuses. And while it doesn't sound like, at first blush, it doesn't sound like a big deal, it actually is, because what happens is when you have a four-year campus versus a two-year campus, it becomes more challenging to schedule in all of the electives and the programs and the things that maybe a two-year campus would have. So staffing and being able to go to our district administration and say, hey, we really do need additional staffing in order to make this schedule work, is the challenge. But then on top of that, what our district is faced with is the challenge of, hey, we're getting ready to open new schools. We've got state mandates coming that are not funded. We've got all of this House Bill 5 stuff that is really heavy. Getting through all of that, it's very muddy right now, just wading through all of those different things and trying to keep some sense of equilibrium while and kid focus, for goodness sake, while we're dealing with all of the administrivia of trying to get things situated so your school runs properly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. If you could go back and kind of see yourself back in that first year in the classroom, what advice would you give to yourself?
I would say definitely don't write yourself out a script the first day and expect to follow it, because it does not work. That's exactly what I did. I had it all written out. Every word that I was going to say, I had it written out. Like, no, you're out of script. And I could make that into a bigger euphemism. Throw out the script, man. Yes, there's a curriculum that you have to follow, and that's important. And yes, there are standards that you have to meet, and that's important. But at the same time, man, throw out the script. Make it fun. Make it interesting for kids. Ask kids what they want to do. Ask kids what they're interested in. Ask kids. I think we don't do enough of that. So that's what I'd tell the me of 1995.
Yeah. So, Carrie, one of the questions that we always like to end on with our guests is, what is something that you're really passionate about right now?
Oh, besides my daughter's softball? I'm really passionate about that. No, something I'm really passionate about right now is it's hitting close to home right now for me, is making sure that our kids have the opportunity to connect their interests with their learning. The reason our kids put their feet on the floor and come to school some days is our electives courses, our fine arts courses, our athletics courses, things like that. And you know, while we have these courses that are also important, and we have a curriculum to follow, our math, our science, our English, our social studies courses, those are important. I'm not minimizing that. But just the attention and focus that needs to happen to our extracurricular and our co-curricular, and I really wish we could change that terminology, because I don't think it's extra or co, I think it's curricular, and allowing our kids to have those outlets of interest for them and making that a focus in our schools, I'm really passionate about that. I think it's important if we're going to engage kids in school, and I don't mean just engage them in completing an assignment for a teacher, I mean engage them in school. We've got to start with their interests.
Well, thanks for joining us this Sunday evening. We really enjoyed getting to talk to you more. And I know both of us have met you in person in previous times, but other people get to finally hear about you a little bit. How can people connect with you?
Oh, goodness. On Twitter, I am at Jackson_Carrie, Carrie. Jackson's pretty easy to spell. but yes, connect with me on Twitter for sure. And of course, Instagram and Pinterest and all those fun things, those are all out there too. But that Twitter is going to be the easiest way to connect with me, and I'll try to be a little more visible on there than I have been. We're in three sports season right now, man. It's crazy.
Yeah,
basketball, softball, volleyball, but we're having fun.
That is nuts. Well, you can connect with us at EduAllStarsHQ on Twitter, and our website's eduallstars.com/podcast. You can see all the previous episodes. And then you can also just kind of search out Google for EduAllStars. You'll find all kinds of stuff there.
And we hope that you join us for our next episode with Sarah Thomas. Thanks again, Carrie, for coming on with us. We really appreciate you giving some of your time.
Thanks for having me, guys. It was fun.
Yeah.